Abraham and Sarah have been walking a long time. They've been walking since they were a young married couple. They left their home in southern Iraq, and they started walking. They walked all the way from southern Iraq to southern Turkey, and then they walked down to Palestine. And then they kept walking down to Egypt, and from there back to Palestine. They've been walking a long time. They've walked a long way. And they're not young anymore. They're older than anyone in this room, I think. And this whole time they've been walking toward an uncertain future. The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country. Leave your people, leave your family, and go to the land I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you." These are big instructions and big promises, but they feel kind of vague. They're kind of mysterious. They're not very clear. There's no exact destination. The Lord doesn't tell Abraham, go to this city. He says, go to the land I will show you. I wonder if some in this room can relate to Abraham and Sarah, having to walk a long way, having to leave behind the country and the people and the family you love, having to move for safety, then having to move for a new opportunity. Maybe having to move again because the rent keeps going up. Abraham and Sarah know about moving. They know about walking. They also know about waiting. They've been waiting for many years for a child. And the clock keeps ticking, and they keep waiting. Years pass, and the Lord appears again to Abraham. And the Lord again makes big promises about the future. A son will come from your own body. You will have as many children as the stars in the sky. But the clock keeps ticking. More years pass, and Sarah is still not pregnant. At this point, Abraham and Sarah have to face their reality. They have to face the facts. He's 86 years old. She's 76 years old. St. Paul writes in Romans, Abraham accepted the fact that he and Sarah were too old to have children. It was just a fact. He and Sarah had to face that reality. And they did what any smart couple would do. They made a plan B. They turned to Sarah's servant Hagar, and she had a son by Abraham, named Ishmael. I think Abraham and Sarah must have assumed this, that Ishmael was the hope of God's promise, that Ishmael was the future for their family. 13 years pass, Ishmael grows, and the Lord shows up again. And again, God makes big promises. I will greatly increase your numbers. You will be the father of many nations. Nations and kings will come from you. St. Paul even writes, you heard, God promised that Abraham would receive the world. Does promise get any bigger than that? I don't think so. It's a huge promise. And the Lord makes promises to us too, big promises about the future. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for prosperity and not for harm. Plans to give you hope and a future. Jesus promises that he has gone ahead of us to heaven to prepare a place for us. He says, I will take you to be with me. Then you will also be where I am. St. Paul says, God will meet all of your needs. He will meet them in keeping with his wonderful riches that come to you because you belong to Christ Jesus. These are big promises that God makes to us. But they can feel kind of vague, kind of hard to hold on to. Maybe they feel far off and distant. I wonder if Sarah and Abraham were asking the same questions we ask. How and when will my prayers be answered? The Lord said to Abraham, I will make my covenant with you. It will last forever. It will be for all time to come. It's a long time. But the problem is, Abraham and Sarah don't live in eternity. They live here on earth, and the clock is ticking, and the years are passing. They don't need the world. They want a child. What about today? What about now? God's big promises for the future don't always feel helpful when we're trying to get through today, when we're facing the problem in front of us. Sure, I believe God can do anything. That's great. But can God do this? Can God fix this problem? Can God answer my prayer for this? Not for the world, but for this. Fix this relationship. Heal this illness. That's what we pray for. We long for those promises of God to become flesh, for the word about the future to become a present reality today. And the Lord does promise, I will put my covenant into practice. But the clock keeps ticking for Abraham and Sarah. They know God's powerful promise, but they also know their reality, that they do not yet have a son of their own. When will God's promise be fulfilled? 11 years pass after God's first promises. That might as well be forever when you're already 86 years old. They can't keep waiting forever because the clock is ticking. So they turn to Hagar and Ishmael is born. They had to face their reality. God doesn't ask them to pretend like they're a young couple. God never asked us to pretend like our problems are not a big deal, when they weigh on us every day, when we have to face them and live with them. We have to face our reality. But here's the temptation for us as Christians: to only face our reality, to just focus on the facts, to only ask, how can this happen? When will this happen? St. Paul writes, Abraham's God also speaks of things that do not exist as if they exist. That's easy for God, who lives in eternity. What about for us here when the clock is ticking? How can Abraham believe in something that doesn't exist yet? Especially when what does exist points in the other direction. Senior citizens don't have babies. That's reality. In the Genesis reading, if you were paying attention, God makes 19 promises. 19 promises in just that short passage. But he only asks one thing of Abraham. Did you catch it? What does the Lord ask of Abraham in verse 1? Do you remember? Walk with me. Walk with me and live a blameless life. That's the one thing the Lord asks of Abraham. Walk with me. Now, walk with me is not actually a great translation of the Hebrew. In Hebrew, the word is, that words are walk, face me. Walk facing me, or walk before my face. That's what the Lord asks of Abraham. I need a volunteer. Wendell, the courageous, come on up. Thanks, bud. All right, so Wendell, you're going to be Abraham, okay? Father Abraham. And I'll be the Lord, just for the purposes of this, okay? So if you face me, and this is the future, okay? Those are all the years ahead. And you can look at the future, and it's not clear because you can't see far, and you wonder, will God's promises come true, right? It's hard to see. But the Lord doesn't just send you into the future. The Lord steps in front of you and says, take my hands and walk with me and keep your eyes on me, and I'll lead you into the future. So that's what the Lord does for Abraham. Does that visual help?
Yes.
So Abraham is supposed to keep his eyes on the Lord. It's tempting to look around, to peek around and see what's over there, right? And to begin to worry, to ask, how could this happen? When is it going to happen? To focus only on the future. And the Lord says, walk with me, walk facing me, and focus on me. Thanks, Wendell. We'll give him a hand. It's natural for us to keep asking those questions. How will God's promises come true? How and when? When will they come true? But there's a more important question we ask when we face God, when we walk with God. Who is this God that is leading? Who is this God before my face? And when we begin to ask who, we begin to learn God's character. And when we know God's character, we can begin to trust, even when the future feels uncertain, even when the promises feel far away. We come to know this God who is leading us, the one who calls us by a new name. Yes, we must face our reality, and we all take steps, reasonable steps, to make plans. And Ishmael was Abraham and Sarah's plan B. And that's not bad. God does bless Ishmael and makes Ishmael into a great nation. But God has bigger plans. You see, Ishmael came from Abraham and Sarah's plans. He was the son of their work. But Isaac is a son of God's promise, a son of grace, a son they didn't plan on, a son they didn't earn. Two thousand years after Abraham, St. Paul wrote the letter to the Romans. We heard Makima read for us. And Paul celebrates Abraham as this hero of faith, a role model for us to look to trust and believe like Abraham. Now, Paul conveniently doesn't mention Ishmael. He doesn't mention Plan B. He focuses on Abraham and Sarah's faith, that they still had hope, even when there wasn't a reason to hope. Have you heard this saying, hindsight is 20/20? It means when we look into the future, it's hard to see. But when we turn around, we begin to see our life clearly. We begin to see God's hand at work. Abraham, he couldn't know what would happen in the future. He couldn't know how or when. And even when he died, at the end of his life, all those promises weren't fulfilled. He didn't live to see all of God's promises fulfilled. Abraham and Sarah didn't know how or when, but they did know who. They kept believing because they kept walking before God's face. They kept walking even when they doubted, even when they made other plans. They kept walking before God's face, one step at a time. And friends, that's all we can do. That's all God asks us to do, to face me and to take one step at a time. To face me and take one step at a time. Paul says in his letters to the Hebrew, let us run the race with perseverance. Let us look to Jesus, fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the one who started this journey. He's the one who will finish this journey of faith. When we look to Jesus, we look to the cross, we see God's character clearly. We see the God who gives life to the dead. When we look at Jesus, we see the power of the resurrection. John Stott has this quote, faith is not burying our heads in the sand or whistling in the dark to keep our spirits up. In other words, believing doesn't mean pretending. Believing doesn't mean hiding from our reality and the facts of our life. But it does mean asking more than just how and when. It means asking who. Faith looks at the facts. It faces the facts, but faith also faces God. And faith knows which is more powerful. Faith knows that the God we face is more powerful than our reality, than our circumstance, than our situation today. For the one who is in you is more powerful than the one who is in the world. So when we face God, we can also face the facts. We can face sickness and still believe in healing. We can face depression and still live with hope. We can face the death of someone we love and still believe in the resurrection of the dead. We can face racism and still work for justice and righteousness. We can face our reality, and we can find the strength to keep walking one step at a time. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.